Up underneath the trees in the bush. And so We don't look down at that. We're thankful, amen, they got a place to meet, amen. And with having said all that, we're going to get into our message this morning here in just a moment. I want to thank everybody. I do have a bit of a praise report concerning Sarah South. We have located a new facility for when our time is up in the building that we're in now. We know that's rapidly coming to us. I still haven't been given a definitive date. However, we were out doing a final push for the leaflets on Friday. My family and the Cronins, and I popped into a place right behind our current building, which is a rugby club there. And they're listed on the websites as a hired hall that's available. And very nice lady. She was the only one there. She was on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor. Been recently in January hired as a manager there. They loved her so much, she re-signed her contract. So I'm thankful that she was there yesterday or Friday. And so it looks like we have a place to go when our time is up in the current building. Amen? And there's a lot of good news about that, and I'll discuss that during fellowship time a little bit more today. So without further ado, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles out tonight. And if you are using a pew Bible, please forgive me. I did not get the page number down. But I'm going to ask you to open up to an odd place to be on Easter. Say, well, which gospel are we going to today? We're going to the Old Testament. We're going to Jeremiah, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 17. And when you get there, if you are willing and able to this morning, I'm going to ask you as always to please stand in honor of reading the Word of God. It is a wonderful day. It's a delightful time to be in His house. It's an honor to be in His house. I'm thankful for it. Christ died that we can be here today. Amen. I don't take that for granted. And over the past 20 years of preaching, I can't remember how many messages on the resurrection I've preached. I can't remember how many salvation messages I've preached. I just can't. I don't remember how many. Lord, I hope and pray that I try to bring the gospel into every message that we preach. But it is an honor to be here. It's a privilege to know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. It is an honor. He didn't choose you over someone else, but He did bring somebody into your life to witness to you. He did bring you to a church doors to hear a message. He did put a gospel tract into your hand, or He gave you parents, whatever it may have been, to bring you to the foot of the cross. And that is a privilege, amen. That is an honor, and I'm thankful for that today. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to begin looking in verse 19. Just going to look at three verses. We'll pray, and then have a seat for just a little while. Jeremiah chapter 19, Jeremiah 17, verse 19. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, enter in and enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." Let us pray. Father in heaven, again we come before you. We bow our hearts before the throne of grace. We ask you, dear God, to work a mighty work in the midst of us this morning. Father, we are in a different place, a different time than Jeremiah was. We are in a different era. We are in a dispensation known as the Age of Grace. And quite often, people use grace, dear God, as a license to sin. Father, I pray today that our hearts will be knit together with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you would allow us to take from these words that Jeremiah proclaimed unto Judah and the kings thereof and all of Jerusalem. And let us, Lord, exercise a grateful heart for that which we're under this morning. Lord God, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you for sending thy only begotten Son. I thank you for him dying on the cross, and I thank you for him being buried for me. Lord, out of it all, I thank you for him rising again. And I ask you these things this morning in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing for lengthy time there today. Again, you're probably saying this preacher has lost his mind. Why in the world is he in Jeremiah on an Easter Sunday? Why in the world is he on Jeremiah in the midst of a day when we should be preaching on the resurrection of Christ? Why in the world today Are we looking in Jeremiah chapter 17 when an angry preacher took out the word of the Lord that was given unto him and stood in the midst of the people and said, listen, you better not work. You better not do any kind of burden, bring anything by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Well, we'll get to that point here in just a little while. But the law was given unto Moses for the Sabbath. Now, guys, there were Sabbath days, there were Sabbath years, there were Sabbath months, and we're not going to get into all that today. All of it was given for a reason, to recognize God's wonderful work in the beginning of all time, of all things. God Himself, by the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the thoughts of the Father, and by the movement of the Holy Spirit of God, He moved upon the face of the deep. And God took 6 days to create everything there is. Now, don't misunderstand that it took Him 6 days. He chose 6 days to do so. Now, one of the first series that I preached here in Siren back in I think we started at the end of January, if I'm not mistaken. 2015, maybe it was February, I can't remember. I kind of thought that we would have all kinds of people coming in wanting to refute creationism, and I thought we'd have evolutionists coming in here and ready to fight. And man, I tell you, I was loaded. I had my notes, my Bible out. I was ready to stand, and not one person came in from the poster that was on the back wall that said a sensational 6 days creation series or Genesis series. I really thought that it would set ablaze, amen. And the bottom line was, people just didn't care, amen. They didn't care. They weren't ready to argue. They really didn't care if we came from an amoeba or a monkey or God's mouth. I learned a valuable lesson in that series that we preached for a lengthy bit of time. But I pray that you learned even more, praise God. Having said all that, we learned that God chose 6 days to create all things. He rested on the seventh day. And the reason He did, He established that seventh day as the Sabbath to give us our work, give us our week. He gave us our week as mankind, that there will be 7 days in a week, 24 hours that we understand. So God took 6 days to create all things, the plants, the grass, the animals, day and night, mankind, ocean, space, stars, earth, you name it. Whatever's created was created in those 6 days. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, and it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We understand and we know it well. We all believe it. And for the Jews, my friend, when Jeremiah would have proclaimed this statement here, repeating the words that God had given to him and God gave unto Moses, it was very, very important. The Mosaic Law was given not only to them to follow and to obey, but understand this, it was given as a foreshadow of things to come. More importantly, it was given unto them as a foreshadow of someone to come. It was given unto them as a foreshadow to understand where and what we are in this world today. So the way of righteousness in order to please God was given in the law of Moses. And even before the law was given, the way of righteousness, God instituted a method to honor and to praise Him for His glorious work of creation and for who He is. And it's called the Sabbath, my friend. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from His work, which God created and made. The institution, my friend, of the Sabbath was set from that day forward, that time that God rested. You know, God's rest. Now, don't misunderstand this. God didn't say, man, that was a lot of work. I need to take this easy. God doesn't get tired, amen. God doesn't go to sleep. God is not off somewhere. I love the fact when I'll chase a rabbit. I only chase a couple today, but I love it over there when Elijah was mocking out the prophets of Baal, and they were hooping and hollering and stomping on their idol and stomping on that calf, trying to get their god Baal, who is Satan himself, trying to get him to come and drop fire down upon that sacrifice. And I can picture Elijah kicked back there. Here it is, drawing to the end of a 3.5 year of famine, and he's just kind of kicked back, relaxed and easy. And he says, peradventure, your God's sleeping. Peradventure, He's on a trip somewhere, amen. Now listen, guys, I'm a King James Bible guy, but when that guy took the Bible and paraphrased it and called it the Living Bible, he said, "Peradventure your God is on the toilet." Now that's just silly to put that in there, amen. It's silly if peradventure God's on the toilet. See, I don't think there was any toilets at all. The guy that wrote that thing, he wrote it to paraphrase the Bible for his son, and I give no credence to it. It's not the inspired work of God. I do think it's comical that he used the word toilet, though, that Theah was on the toilet somewhere, amen? I just like that, but our God, the only God, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't rest, he's not on a trip, he's not someone that cannot be reached at any time that we meet him. The institution of the Sabbath was set. The institution of the Sabbath was for God to rest. The institution of the Sabbath was given unto man so that the rest of man, so man could rest on that seventh day, or the land could lay rest in the seventh year. Its origin was in creation. But beloved, the Sabbath day is a day of rest. When Jesus Christ was offered upon the cross of Calvary, those who have received the free gift of salvation today have a Sabbath not held in a day, not held in a month, not held in a year by the law, but we have a Sabbath today that is held in a Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the risen Savior. You see, my friend, we recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, making it the day that death ultimately died. Thus becomes the Savior of mankind as well as our Sabbath today. You see, in the risen Christ, my friend, number one, in the risen Christ, we, if you're here today, you're saved and born again, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. In the risen Christ, we have rested. Look at verse 21 there in Jeremiah 17 again with me. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. You say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with anything today? Listen, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Why? Look in verse 17 from the screen. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Well, we must understand today that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. And if you're here this morning, saved, born again of the precious blood of our Savior, then therefore you have rested in Him. And the reason that is important this morning is because you could not have rested in Him if He had not risen from the grave. Turn your Bibles to Romans real quick. Hold your place there in Jeremiah, I believe. Hold your place in Jeremiah. And turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is the governmental chapter. We understand that. Teaches of us of our relationship between governmental bodies. I know a few people that do not like this particular passage of Scripture, and because they don't want to treat certain individuals as the ministers of righteousness. But I told them you would be in direct rebellion against God if you do not. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. This is what the Bible says. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, which one did he not mention? I remember years back I preached a message out of Romans chapter 7, preached a 4-week message called The Four Laws of God. And I constructed, I built these massive replicas of the Ten Commandments. I took a 4 foot by 8 foot, put together, it was an 8 foot by 8 foot replica of the Ten Commandments, both of them hinged together, painted them with this stone paint, and then had the Ten Commandments written on them. And I stood beneath that wall. And then here I am standing. I'm at 6'3", but what they just towered over me, and that was the image that I wanted to bring to the people. The control, the power, the bondage that the law had in a person's life. And that's what those Ten Commandments are for. It's not something that we can live up to. It is something that convicts us of our sin, that we have broken and transgressed God's law. Therefore, we need a Savior. But we find in Romans 13, which one did Paul not mention? He did not mention the fourth one. He did not mention honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Why, you may ask, that he did this? Beloved, when you have trusted in the risen Savior, you have rested in him. Your Sabbath is in Jesus Christ, and you are now free from the burden and the bondage of sin. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We are to bear no burden of the law. We are to bear no burden of sin, no burden of self, no burden of any of these things in life today, because we have rested in Jesus Christ. We have rested in the fact that he has set us free. Those burdens, all the things that we've carried in our life, they are taken away by resting in Christ Jesus our Lord and trusting in his death, burial, and being risen again. Matthew chapter 11 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said about coming unto him. When we've rested in him, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Think of the burden that you may have carried in your lives, and maybe here today, still trying to carry those things and not allow the Lord to carry them. Think of those things, the burden of judgment, the burden of greed, the burden of unforgiveness. I know men and women today that refuse to forgive others that have wronged them, and they are carrying this around. That's why they don't have joy in their life. And they think when the preacher has excitement and he's happy and he's speaking positive all the time, that something's wrong with them, because they haven't turned loose of that burden, and maybe they've rested in eternity in their Jesus Christ, their Sabbath, but they refuse to let go of those things. Christ says, "My burden's light, man. My yoke is easy." Think about the anger and mass and malice and wrath and mass too. Let's throw that in there. Amen. It's a burden that's not even biblical. Praise the Lord. All of these things Jesus Christ has taken away. We should not live under any longer. That's the fact that he's risen this morning. It's a beautiful joy that we have rested in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." I remember years ago, I preached this message many years ago in this country, about 10 years ago or 8 years ago. But I know I preached it in the state of Nebraska, and I preached it in Tennessee. But there's a message that I preached called just a simple message, 3 nails, 1 cross. 3 nails and 1 cross. There's not 2 crosses to salvation. There's not 4 nails. There's not 2 nails. And what men today try to do is they try to add different nails to the cross of Christ. And whereas we know he had 3, 2 in his hands and then 1 in his feet, people want to add other nails, and they want to try to bring that law back, and they want to try to bring these other steps back, and they want to put you underneath the burden today. And I'm trying to tell you this morning that when Jesus Christ nailed those ordinances that was against us, when he nailed them to his cross, he took them out of the way. We're set free, man. We're not carrying that burden down around anymore. We're not carrying that burden of judgment and greed and unforgiveness and anger and malice and wrath and all. We're not carrying that with us anymore, because Christ took it and nailed it to his cross and says, "You no longer need to carry that. We have rested in Jesus Christ." I mean, it is inconceivable for our minds to think that the one who died for us, because of that death, that we have rest from the burdens of our life. But my friend, I'm trying to convince you this morning, by biblical precepts, we have rest from those things. Remember the other day, we were just busy. I mean, you guys know us well enough. I don't need to tell you how busy we are and the work that goes on in the ministry and what has to transpire. And I know sometimes, man, we're able to come home to the house, and it's not all the time, but we come home. I gotta tell about my wife real quick. And so, I'm sorry, I gotta say this. I got home yesterday afternoon, and my wife was in comfort mode. All right, which comfort modes mean, she's in comfort mode. I'm just gonna say that. And I told her, and I was joking, I was picking out. I said, "Well, I tell you,
What was the word? I said, man, you got some frumpy clothes on now, don't you, man? I said, you comfortable? She says, oh, man, I got home and I changed my clothes and I got into my cleaning clothes and she was busy working in the house. But then she came in there and I came home. I kid you not, gosh, I came home. And I had worked all morning while the boys were training. I'd worked to make sure everything was done for today. I had a few things to do, print a couple pages out that I knew I could do this morning. Man, I sat down in the chair. Brother Mel, I sat down. And I pulled one of these. I sat down like this. And I hit that button and my feet went out. And I kicked my shoes off. And this is what it did. I went, oh, it was comfortable. I was resting. And again, it's not an often times because 9 times out of 10, you know, I sit down in that chair and I grab my computer or my Bible and I start working. Oh, Brother Mel, it was so nice. Now, that rest was good to my body. But when Christ said that we've rested in Him, when He's taken that ordinance of sin, that ordinance of the law, and He's taken it out of the way, I like that part. He's just taken it out of the way. Think of a barrier on the road, and you just can't get through that barrier. And you're not, and some big bloke comes through there, and he grabs the barrier and takes it out of the way. That's what Jesus has done for us.
Right.
He has removed it from us. He's taken it out of the way. We have rested in Christ. You say, why preach from Jeremiah 17? What's the deal with the Sabbath? Because under the law, the seventh day had to be honored. From sundown on, let's just say Friday night, to sundown on Saturday night, the Jewish calculation of time, their next day starts at sundown. So in other words, our Friday night is their Saturday. Okay. So when you have that happen, when that transpires, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't work. They weren't supposed to bear any burden. They weren't supposed to do anything at all on the Sabbath. You know how hard that is to try to fulfill? We got groups today running around the world trying to keep the Sabbath. Guys, we have a Sabbath that is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, amen, 86,600 seconds a day. And listen, it is 365 days a year and 366 last year, so we've had a leap year. We've rested in Christ. There is no burden we should have to carry other than the burden of the cross of Christ. Friend, not only have we rested in His life, but we've rested in His resurrection. That's where we are today. Back in Jeremiah 17, just to use verse 21 once again. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, and bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. May I say this to you this morning, that the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, the fact that Jesus Christ got up out of that grave and walked out of there, allows us to know that we do not have to carry the burden of past sins. It allows us to know that we don't have to carry any burden through the gates. It allows us to know that we don't have to carry any burden from days gone past. Mistakes that we may have made, bad choices or wrong decisions. The mighty Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Guys, you know I've used that verse a multitude of times. Apostle Paul is responsible by God's grace of writing 14 of the epistles. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know he wrote Hebrews? I believe he wrote Hebrews, and you're entitled to your opinion. I'm just going to leave it at that, amen. That's nicer than what I normally say. He was able to write 14 epistles in the New Testament. God enabled him to plant churches all throughout the era. God chose him to carry the gospel to the regions beyond. God sent him to Rome, amen. He says, all roads lead to Rome, therefore all roads lead from Rome. So he knew if the gospel gets to Rome, he sets it ablaze. Gospel go throughout this whole world. If you look back in the history of our country here, and you look back to the settlements of the Roman Empire throughout southern British Isles, construction of the roads in southern England and southern Wales, as we would look at it now. Some of the roads still yet we drive on today, and they feel like it sometimes too, amen. If you go back to the date when Rome was working here, Jesus Christ was on the cross. When they begin to work their way through Exeter and through that portion, when they work their way through the southern borders of Wales from the sea and begin to trek through this very land, was in and around 26 A.D. to 36 A.D. when they did their most of their construction. I looked in one of the history books and they had Rome here. I think it was Gibbons. Gibbons had Rome constructing roads throughout our very area that we live in right now in the year 29 and through 32 A.D. You realize what that means, guys? While that Roman Praetorium, while those Roman soldiers were using spades and digging ditches and clearing ways so that the wagons and the horses could make their transport, our Savior hung on the cross. A world away, so it would seem. And while they're constructing the very roads that some of us, like I said, can travel on today, making pathways, Jesus Christ was laid in the grave. When that sun dropped on Saturday night, and began that first day of the week, according to Jewish time, that stone rolled away. It kept rolling. And Jesus Christ walked out of that grave. He was resurrected that day. And yet the soldiers, they didn't know anything here. They just kept working in the United Kingdom. Well, it was just the British Isles at the time. All of that happened, guys. All of that occurred so that we, as a body of believers, could leave that which is behind and reach unto that which is before. Here's the Apostle Paul, the mighty Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary, greatest preacher, greatest man of God to ever walk this planet. But he says, this one thing I knew. You wonder why Paul was good at what he did. Looks like to me the secret to his success, if you will, this one thing that I did. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why can he do that? Because he's rested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The weight of the past will bog you down. It will bog you down. It will mar your Christian life. But because we know that our burdens were nailed to the cross of Calvary, we know that our burdens and our sins will not have victory over us because Jesus Christ is risen from the grave today. 1 Corinthians 15 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20 with me real quick. And I'm going to work down to close this message when God's done with it, not when I am. You see, Paul was successful. He was a great Christian because he trusted in the same Christ that you trust in today. Because when he rested in Jesus Christ, he rested in his resurrection. You know what? Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I can't tell you what God's doing right now, but he's doing something. Maybe you're here today. And maybe God has done something. Maybe there's something that you're holding on to from yesterday, yesteryear, or the life before you met Jesus Christ. I don't know. Maybe there's a point in your life that you just cannot get past. Maybe there's a place in your life this morning that you just can't get over. Maybe there's some hurt here. Maybe this morning you're here, you know you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, and that is a tremendous blessing. But maybe today, you haven't forgotten what was in the past. And it's hindering your growth in Christ. I'm not here to rebuke you. I'm not here to personally convict you. here to edify you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. When Jeremiah said unto the people, he was rebuking them, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. I'm here to encourage you this morning that if you have rested your souls, your sin, and yourself in Jesus Christ, in His resurrection, then you, just as the Apostle Paul, need to say within yourself, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. If you've rested today, you've rested and you're done. But it's not just for eternal life, but it's for the life that you live right now. It's for the life that you're living every single day on this earth until Christ either comes back in the air or you take your last breath. One of the two. So that's the question that I have to you this morning. This is the thought that I want to leave you in the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, that Jesus Christ is our living God today. Have you rested completely, totally in Him? Or are you still behind the scenes trying to work and trying to construct things? Are we going through the prayers? Are you reading your Bible? Are you doing all this? But behind the scenes, you're holding on some things that you just won't let go. You say, well, preacher, why don't you list some of those things? I don't want to list. I'm not going to try to personally convict you. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ died for you personally. Jesus Christ loves you. And whether you think no one on the face of this planet loves you, the fact is Jesus Christ does. He loves you. He died for you. And you can rest in the fact today that He has risen from the grave. His resurrection today not only gives us freedom from the bondage and the burden of sin in the life to come, but my friends, it gives us freedom from the bondage and the burden of sin in the life that it now is. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that was the day that death died. When Jesus walked up out of the grave was when He took the sting out of death. When He took away the victory from the grave, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, He gave us an open door to completely rest in Him and not depend on anything of ourselves. So, beloved, why is it so important that He's risen? Because He gives you rest, both eternally and temporally this morning. Will you bow your heads with me today? You're here today and God's spoken to your heart in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm just going to leave you with this today and just hope and pray that God will continue to move into your life. But if He has spoken to you today, don't pass up this opportunity. Don't pass up this opportunity to leave it at the altar. You just pray as God so leads to whatever there is that you haven't solely given up. That you haven't solely rested in Christ today, just turn it loose. Turn it loose and let God move. Father in heaven, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and time. I pray this morning that you'd move in a mighty way amongst the people. I pray that you take your message, Father. It was evident this morning that, Lord, you would have it go the direction that you did. So I would pray today that, Lord, if there be anything that we get out of this message, anything that we get out of this time together, help us rest in you. Help us not hold on to what has been in the days past. Help us not hold on, dear God, to what used to have been or even should have been or could have been. Help us rest in the death burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let us look for the soon return of Him in the air. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Touch your people. Help them grow from this day. We give you honor and praise. For the resurrected Jesus Christ. And in His name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Guys, I just wanted to obey you. I just wanted to trust the Lord. This is where He would have us to go. I hope and pray that He's been a blessing to you this morning.